Welcome to Rein It In. This is Matt.
And I'm Rachel. And today, we're here to apologize for you, first and foremost, because this is only our second episode. It's the fourth month of the year.
I apologize for nothing. No, oh. That's not quite true. I apologize all the time. But it's the second episode of season three.
That's true. It's the second episode of season three. We've been feeling the pandemic malaise out of interesting things for us to talk about. But one of the things that's breaking the malaise is, A, we're both vaccinated now. Yep. Matt's about, what, like 4 days out from...
So I'm a week and a half out from my second shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Since I got my second shot.
And I had my second shot a while ago. So we're both feeling more comfortable transitioning into interacting in the world. So we're going to go on a trip. And what we want to do in this podcast today is talk to you a little bit about like how we go about making the choices that we do when we're planning travel, and sort of previewing what we're going to be doing on this road trip, which we will then podcast the heck out of.
Yeah. So we occasionally get asked by our friends and family sort of how we choose where to go, how we go about, like, yeah, finding the places we're going
to
stay.
Prioritizing what to see.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is a hard thing, right? And I think one of the things that sort of helps me is, like, I never assume that this will be the last time I go to a place. Now, I might never go to some of these places again, but, like, it's never the assumption in my head, like, this is the only time you're ever going to do this, so you got to see everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if I don't do that, but I don't think I do that specifically. Rather than I don't think this is the last time we're going to go. Mm-hmm. Starting out, too, when we were first starting to travel, I think we've talked about this a long time ago, so Rachel and I met quite a long time ago at this point. And, you know, we were both working graveyards or overnights at Kinko's, and we were not flush with cash.
Yeah, we both got paid, well, to start, we both got paid $6.50 an hour. So we were not making a lot of money.
But you already had the travel bug because you'd traveled with your folks.
Right. So I spent some time traveling with my folks. We went to Australia and New Zealand, right when my mom and my stepfather got married and I was 10. I had actually been at Kinko's for a while, but right before Matt and I started dating, I went to Singapore and Malaysia, right, also with my parents. Those were sort of formative travel experiences.
Right. And when I was in like sixth grade and then eighth grade, so if you're not in the States, that's like, I was like probably 11 or 12 and then maybe 13 or something like that, and 14, probably 11 and 13.
Yeah, that's right. I had
an opportunity with my family. We went to, between the two trips, Spain, France, England. There was some drama, but for the most part came out excited about interacting with other places and eating new food and being in new places. And then growing up with my mom, but visiting my dad in the summers, we would always go on some big road trip. So I've always enjoyed sort of getting out and doing stuff too. And we did that every summer. We had a big trip and they were amazing. So when we started out though, we were on pretty tight
budget. Yeah.
So what we did there was we looked at where we had friends that we wanted to visit and or who had invited us to come visit.
Right.
And that would save us some cash in staying places. And then even after we had a little bit more, we would sometimes look at, because we've had some friends who live internationally, and we would sort of see if we could pop in and stay with them for a couple of days to save, well, first, to have a great opportunity to see them, but also have it not be a huge expense.
Right, because lodging is always your biggest daily expense, mm-hmm. I will say. I mean, it really depends on, like, flights and stuff can be obviously hugely expensive or not that bad.
Right. Or, I mean, if you're traveling solo or you're more comfortable doing it, there's definitely cheaper ways to stay than we do. But we've always wanted to have our own room. If we can have a bathroom, we prefer it, but we've definitely used shared bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not really staying in hostels.
I've done the hostel thing. Like, when I was studying abroad, hostels were, like, a pretty sort of essential part of that experience, which I'm happy that I did, but I don't necessarily, I'm not going to be the 50-year-old that's in the hostel. Mm-hmm. No, some of my friends are still rocking hostels, and that's fine. It's just not for me.
It's super respectful, but yeah, right, it's not for me. Not for me. To some
yeah,
extent.
No, I mean, it's all about, like, whatever choice it is that you want to make. Right. I'd rather find a nice Airbnb than a hostel. Yeah. I recognize that Airbnbs are problematic. I try to stay in people's basements and spare rooms and random apartments rather than taking up full real estate. Sometimes I take up full real estate.
Right. The, so, you know,
we've gotten off track though.
Yeah. So if you're looking for places to go and you're not really sure where to go, I mean, obviously go to where your dreams want to take you first and just make it work. Right. If you're like, oh, I'd never be able to figure out how to speak a language in XYZ, do a little bit of research. There's a lot of people who travel who don't speak local languages.
My parents never... I don't even think they buy a phrase book. I think they just smile a lot.
Yeah, and get by on charisma.
And get by on charisma, you know?
And politeness. Politeness is the big one.
Yeah.
Whenever.
Yeah.
But even if you're not sure there, too, right? Like, who are your friends that you wanted to see for a while and you haven't been able to see? And that's exactly where this episode comes from.
Right.
This one, we're traveling... a little bit necessity because, you know, Rachel said we're both will have reached peak whatever
resistance
from having our second doses. But like, we're still not comfortable being in public without a mask on or doing things. So right. We still want to do it safe. So we're decided to go on a road trip instead of flying, mm-hmm. Until more of the United States here, at least has had an opportunity to hopefully not drag their feet on getting vaccinated.
Yeah. Gosh, and if colleges all required it, that would make things
pretty convenient. It's not like they don't already do the MMR in the States. So, again, off track. But last year, the pandemic canceled a couple trips that we had to visit friends in the Midwest and sort of East Coast. Well, definitely East Coast, but West Virginia.
What are you, West Virginia?
Yeah, it's West Virginia coast.
Appalachia.
Yeah. So we thought, hey, what? We could just take an extended road trip and hit some fun places.
Right, exactly. So a lot of the time we'll sort of be like, I was thinking about it when we were planning this podcast, like a lot of the time we'll have like a couple of places that we know we want to hit. And some of that time is the couple of places are, okay, we've got friends in spot A and spot B. Some of the times it is, like when we went to Japan, it was like, okay, we're obviously flying into Tokyo, but I want to go to Hokkaido. So let's, like, those are our two data points, right? And let's figure out the routes and the trip around those two things that we want to do.
Yeah. So well, Japan hit the I can't remember the actual aquarium name offhand, but there's the... jellyfish and jelly museum aquarium that's sort of northwest of Tokyo. So that gave us a triangle.
Right.
And then that was the decision instead of...
That was like the third data point.
Right, yeah. So that was a big difference between we just flying into Tokyo and having a good time in Tokyo and then taking a flight up to Hokkaido. Would have been nice and easy. Mm-hmm. We like trains. We're like, hey, let's...
We do like trains.
Check out jellyfish. Rachel likes jellyfish.
I do.
I like jellyfish. And so then it was, okay, now we've got a route. Mm-hmm. How are we going to go? And how long do we want to be on a train during the day?
Right. And so we're doing kind of the same thing here, right? So we have two basic data points. One was Cincinnati and one was Morgantown, West Virginia, which is the trips that got canceled last year. So then it was also, all right, how long do we want to be in the car per day?
How much time can we take off?
How much time can we take off? What other things do we want to hit mm-hmm. That seem... like fun or interesting mm-hmm. in that circle. So we have a big old circle. Maybe we'll post a picture of the map with this episode. That would make sense.
That'd probably be the image.
So we have a big old circle, and I think it equals out to exactly 24 hours of driving. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. You wanna take it from there, Razika?
Oh, sure. So yeah, we're in Atlanta, as I think most of our listeners know, and if you can hit Cincinnati, just jump on 75 and drive straight. But it's a long time. It's like 12 hours or something, maybe?
No. It's like 7.
Really? It's only 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bowling Green was 10.
Okay.
So, yeah. So Bowling Green's 3 hours longer than
Right. Cincinnati. So this is I don't want to say pathetic that we're breaking those up into three legs, but anyways, also based on when we're going to hit the road. So
right, because we're going to leave after work, so you don't want to commit to a 7 or 8 hour drive after you've already worked a full day.
Right.
Some people do, but like I don't drive, so I'm not much use on a road trip. I'm very charming, but I don't supply a lot of like pressing the pedal time.
No, expert navigation and company.
So that means we break up things differently than maybe people who have two drivers do as well.
Right. Yeah. So we're trying to keep it to no more than 5 hours on the road and actually keep it closer to like three. Mm-hmm. So that A, I'm not a zombie when we get someplace, and B, we actually have some time at each one of the places that we're at.
Right. This is basically the same thing that we did in Japan too.
Right? Yeah, it is. Like, yeah. Right. We do one night.
Train. Yeah.
And then we'd stay at a place for a couple nights. Mm-hmm. And then we'd do, you know, a couple days of travel, and we'd stay someplace for a few nights. Mm-hmm. Which is funny, too. I was thinking about this. Is there's been other times that we've specifically chosen to stay in each location longer. Mm-hmm. Because that's also something we really like to do. We like to see things, but we also like to have enough time to sort of soak in
right.
a place. This one's definitely going to be more on the cannonball run.
Well, I mean, and we're prioritizing spending time with friends, right? So the longer nights that we're spending in places are places that will also be fun to visit, but mm-hmm. places that we have people that we want to see.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it'd be nice if we could stay in Cincinnati more than two nights, but I think just with all the other stuff and how much time we can get off, that's what it's going to be. So, but we're going to hit the road right after work and stay somewhere near Knoxville or mm-hmm. in Knoxville, Tennessee, and then we're gonna have a short stretch and stay in Lexington because we want to do some distillery, mm-hmm. Bourbon tastings, some yep. sort of experience up there. But there's also the infamous.
What's the infamous?
What's the whole reason we were thinking about stopping in Lexington?
Right. Sorry. Cocaine Bear.
Yeah,
sorry. The infamous Cocaine Bear. Apologies that I forgot about Cocaine Bear. So if you are a podcast listener, which you are because you're listening to this podcast right mm-hmm. now, I listen to a lot of My Favorite Murder, and there are two really great episodes about Cocaine Bear that I would recommend you to. We can tag those numbers in the comments or in the...
Yeah.
In the text. But anyway, basically, there's a really epic story involving a plane of drugs coming from Colombia, and someone panics and throws out a bunch of the drugs, and a poor bear finds these packages of cocaine and overdoses. And then it goes on to have a very illustrious life as a stuffed bear, ending at a store called Kentucky for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So
with a stretch living with...
Waylon Jennings.
Yeah.
Country music legend.
So, anyway, so because it's on the stretch, it seemed like an extra good reason to check this place out. It's at Kentucky for Kentucky.
Yeah.
So we want to be able to have a day in the Lexington area, a day and an evening, mm-hmm. And then still be able to get to our friend in Cincinnati. Right. So we've got just a few hours out from there, hit Cincinnati. And then we're going to spend a couple days in Cincinnati and go to, what's that crazy, Jungle Gyms? No.
Oh, yeah, Jungle Gyms, crazy grocery store.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I think we might do some breweries.
Rheingeist.
I don't know.
It's not Radagast.
Radagast.
I'm pretty sure, I always want to say Rheingast, but I'm pretty sure it's Rheingeist. Rheingeist is a nice brewery there. There's also a really nice, and we'll say this when we're actually there, I will tell you the legit names of these places, but there is a really nice feminist-owned brewery that's in a church that does mostly sours, which are not my favorite kind of beers, but I will say they had free tampons in the ladies' room, yeah. And high five.
And supporting feminist businesses on our list.
Yep,
so,
always awesome.
The awesome thing we wanted to do outside Knoxville in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Ridge?
Mm-hmm. Tennessee. Oak Space Ridge, not all one word, Oak Ridge.
Which Oak is Space a Ridge.
Different town in Tennessee. Is,
I didn't even realize this is more or less in our backyard, but there's a secret Manhattan Project town mm-hmm. that existed there. I was only aware of the Los Alamos.
I feel like that town, I mean, I didn't watch all of Manhattan, the TV show, but I feel like that town showed up on Manhattan too. I feel like there was a second location.
Oh, you're right.
Very occasionally.
I think it did.
But yeah, there's a whole, I mean, I know there's got to be Los Alamos museums and stuff, but there's museums for this like secret town that was built for Manhattan Project research. However,
closed.
Yeah, COVID. So, so we'll have to hit that a different year.
Yeah. So far we've already booked a couple places. Mm-hmm. Rachel was doing a little bit of research right before we started recording, and we might have all the places ready to book. Mm-hmm. So things are coming together. This is going to be over Memorial Day. Once we leave.
And I will say, I'm a big proponent of, like, I don't need to have all of my activities planned. In fact, I prefer not to. But I do like to know where I'm sleeping every night. Yeah. So, like, I've been on road trips with my parents where we, like, you know, would stop and, like, sort of see if a hotel had room or, you know, one infamous trip, we kept stopping at places and there kept only being smoking rooms available. And the people kept saying to us, well, do you want to go in and smell the room? So we did, obviously.
And then left.
And then left, right? Like, multiple times. And that gets frustrating. So I like to know where I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. I don't have to know what I'm doing or what I'm eating. But if I can have that booked, I just feel like, okay,
yeah,
got enough of a plan.
Yeah, which I think is a good way that we strike a good balance, because I'm a planner and a list maker, and I get a little bit stressed if things don't go according to plan. But ironically, the more you plan on a vacation, the less likely things are going to go exactly as planned, and suddenly you're stressed out. So Rachel's helped me. Yeah, we plan the big strokes. If there's a specific thing we want to do, sometimes it's just like a list of possible things and we kind of see what we're in the mood for. But even if there's like a specific thing we want to do, like say we want to go to a specific museum, we'll only plan that for part of a day and we make sure we don't plan the rest of the day other than where we're going to sleep.
Right.
And then we'll kind of wing it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, and this doesn't necessarily qualify for the road trip, although maybe it kind of does, but like some of the stuff is like, I really do kind of look at ways that I can maximize like expenditures per attraction. So like we talked about when on our UK podcast, using the like 2-for-1 rail card things. And so I probably went to places that I wouldn't have necessarily chosen, but I was like, oh, we can get into this 2-for-1. So like we might as well. Or some places, and I've talked about this, I think, before, too, city passes. Some places have really excellent city passes where they get you into a ton of attractions and they give you transit access. And that is just great. So we went to a ton of places in Barcelona that I never would have gone to because they were on the city pass and we got in for free. I mean, free included, right? So we went to the chocolate museum. We went to this Art Deco museum or Art Deco factory that had been turned into a museum.
Oh, yeah.
We had all of our transit paid for. We went into a museum where there were no other people. We were the only people in that museum.
The other thing too, we're still pretty mobile. And so we do a fair amount of walking, especially when we travel internationally, because if you listen to our public transit podcast, we don't rent cars when we go places. And we're going to have to when we go to Iceland.
Yeah,
I know it, but it'll be okay. Where was I going with this? It was, oh yeah, when we were in Barcelona also, it was called Trip for Real at that point, but they ended up getting
bought by Airbnb experiences.
So it's Airbnb experiences, but there's other ones. There's like Viator or something like that. But I am a big proponent. We're not going to do it this time because any place we're staying for more than one night, we're staying with friends and they're going to be our tour guides.
Yeah.
But when we go to other places, we've booked, again, we've talked about this a bunch of times, I think, but book a short walking tour, like a half-day walking tour early on, especially if you're going to be in one place more than a few nights. And that's where we learned some awesome stuff from our tour guide, who was a real wacky dude, took us to some places we would not have gone.
Yeah.
And he also was like, you're thinking about going to this place. It's okay. There's better... Like, because it was a Picasso museum. There's better Picassos at other museums.
Right. Because we were also going to Madrid, which right. is where the better Picassos yeah. are.
And then, right, because he was like, oh, you're going to Madrid, go to the, what, the Reina Sofia instead. Mm-hmm. And we were also, he was like, are you going to the Sagrada Familia? And we're like, well, we're thinking about just going on the outside. He was like, no, you need to go. And it was a singular experience.
Totally worth it.
So, but he also pointed out some like fun restaurants and bars that we ended up going back to mm-hmm. and had a great time. So like getting a local to walk you around, a ton of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a really good tour. I think it was actually free. I mean, you sort of paid what mm-hmm. you wanted. And we paid them, you know, well, cause it was a good tour, but, in Santiago, that I don't think gave us quite as many tips about like where to go and stuff, but it gave you a lot of history. It was really yeah. interesting.
Yeah, it was a fun historic walking tour, so you learned cool stuff.
Yeah.
We like walking, we like learning stuff, and we like eating and drinking, so if you can like get someone who tells you all three of those things, that's like perfect.
It's like ideal, yeah.
Anyways, speaking of off track, we should get back on this road trip,
right.
take a quick break,
yep.
and we'll talk about the rest of the places we're going.
Okay. We talked through like our sort of two data points, right? The first two that we had, and then the third data point was Cocaine Bear, a very important data point that I almost forgot.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
So then, though, it's sort of a matter of like kind of breaking things up, right? We talked about how we didn't want to drive too long. And so we had a real conundrum. About whether or not we wanted to go to Columbus or Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because we both really like Pittsburgh.
I like Pittsburgh a lot. My tattoo's from Pittsburgh. Lots of good things happen in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Some terrible things, I'm sure, too. But
probably.
But we've had a good time there.
Yeah, I really like Pittsburgh. But it's a little bit further. And we also really like Columbus. So.
Right. Well, we have a friend in Columbus, too.
Right, exactly. So that was the kind of deciding factor was mm-hmm. like, okay, Columbus is only like an hour-ish from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So it's a really short drive day. But we've got a friend there. He promises me that we're going to party like it's 1999,
yeah.
which I'm very excited about. It'll be a professor party, but
yeah.
you know.
But we're going to party with some Jenny's ice cream from some of the original locations.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an awesome.
It'll be definitely at least a two Jenny's. You know,
visit.
The
other thing too, some of the stuff that I really want to do in Pittsburgh is things that you'd kind of want to do after we're past the pandemic, like
there's a lot of museum stuff, and
Museums might be okay, but it was like, I don't know, just being out of the town was kind of fun there.
Yeah, we had a really fun night at a dance club called Belvedere's a couple of years ago. I wouldn't feel comfortable going there right now.
No. So Columbus, and then we're doing Morgantown.
So we're going to be in Morgantown for the longest. We'll be there for 3 nights. We have 2 sets of friends there.
Unfortunately, it's midweek, so we're
not
ideal
right.
for but, them.
I mean, it is after the semester's over, so at least my 2 friends that are teaching, their workloads will be a little bit lighter.
I don't know what we're doing in West Virginia. We're going to see some cats.
We're going to
get barked at by a dog.
Yeah. We're going to go to Falling Water.
Right.
Which I wanted to do. And Falling Water, it was sort of like, next time we go there, I want to do it. And then I realized it's actually closer to Morgantown than it is to Pittsburgh. So it makes more sense to do it. It's about an hour drive. But I'm excited.
We should say they want to join us too. And since one of our friends is likely going to need to work while we're there, we can do that during the day so they'll be disappointed that they don't get to join us, but
right.
Yeah.
Not as disappointed as missing Harry Potter World. So
right.
That was a ladies only trip. So that's the only thing though that I have planned for Morgantown. Mostly I just want to see my friends and hang out. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm within driving distance to this, that would be a cool thing to do.
Sorry, I just got really distracted.
Yeah.
Like,
I know, you drifted off.
I know, because you've done a bunch of ladies-only weeks for trips for some big birthday years and things like that. And I was thinking that, like, it'd be fun to follow Jason on a tour or something.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Anyway,
wistful glances into the
so off track.
Yeah.
And then
we need to
Morgantown,
make our way
West Virginia is kind of a long stretch, and we still have a couple days that we can take, mm-hmm. so we decided to break that up as well. We've heard lots of good things about
Roanoke,
which I actually know almost nothing about it other than the lost lost mm-hmm. village or whatever. But mm-hmm. the
cannibals.
Since I've mentioned to some people that we're going there, every single person that I've mentioned to has said, "Oh, that's a really interesting place."
Yeah.
So who knew?
I know. That's going to be one of our longer drives. It's 5 hours, I think. So that might be our individual longest driving day. But yeah. Then we're staying there for 2 nights. So
right. So I kind of figure we'll find something to do in between Morgantown and there.
Yeah.
And just take a break somewhere.
Yeah. We've been kind of looking at Atlas Obscura. And I haven't searched the Virginia options yet. But Atlas Obscura is a website. And you can just type in the state, and it will tell you like what weird things there mm-hmm. are to see in that state. And that's how I initially found the Manhattan Project Oak Ridge stuff, which we will go back to at some point, because it is only 3 hours away. But obviously, whatever we want to do, we have to double check to see that it's open. Right. We can't make any assumptions in 2021.
So I don't know this for sure, but I think the difference is like the Oak Ridge is where they were refining the plutonium.
Oh, okay.
And Los Alamos is where they were working on the detonators.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because it's a graphite reactor or something like that you can.
Yeah, and there's like a National Museum of Energy there that's part of the in Oak Ridge that's part of the
right.
And then you can do tours from there.
So we'll be doing a bunch of mountainy stuff. You're definitely going to need to eat some ginger candies and take some.
Oh yeah.
Motion Dramamine. Sickness stuff.
I will say like. I mean, I spend so much less time in a car. I already didn't spend very much time in a car, but I spend so much less time in a car since COVID happened that I get car sick like immediately. I don't even need to leave town. So that's an unfortunate development.
That's still a big question mark out there, what we're going to do. And then also, and this could change too, right? So probably 2 nights in Roanoke, mm-hmm. and then break it up one more time and stop in Greenville, South Carolina, mm-hmm. which I went there for a really strange business trip, and it was a much nicer town than I expected it to be. It reminded me a little bit of Fort Collins, where we used to live.
And then we'll just have a real short drive to get home, which will be nice. So we won't arrive home completely exhausted, mm-hmm. And we'll get to see the cat.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I hope any of that information was interesting to you, but
yeah, that was all kind of a little shotgunned, but we're open to suggestions too.
That's
as
true.
To where we should go.
If you know anything about Virginia,
yeah.
and you want to tell us things about it. I have been to Richmond and DC. That's it. So
DC is not Virginia, but you know that.
Well, I mean
that area.
Yeah. In the surrounding environs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, when we first started this podcast, it was originally to record our travels, be sort of a, you know, an audio blog journal of what we were doing, a check-in for our friends, and then we informally decided we wanted to do one episode per month if we could. Mm-hmm. This year's been a little tougher. Somehow we still kept up, and we had 12 episodes during the pandemic year 2020, and now that we're in pandemic year 2021, yeah, haven't been quite as good, but I think we're going to have a few episodes while we're traveling.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We'll record, you know, every couple days.
Yeah.
We'll hopefully get some guests.
Oh, yeah, we can do guests.
Guest speakers.
I won't shush you, hopefully.
We're not going to be in Japan, so I won't be shushed. Sorry, we were trying to get tickets for Japan for Christmas, but I think it just isn't a prudent idea at this point. So instead, we're going to go to Colorado, which will be great, but not Japan. But I can be as loud as I want in Colorado.
Yeah. And we will probably podcast from Colorado, too, because we might be podcasting from a new tiny house.
We're building a tiny house.
Yeah, with Rachel's folks.
Yep.
So
it's going to be great.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe that's all we've got for the second section.
Yeah, it's a very short second section. Do we have any other, like, sort of ideas about how we choose places? I mean, I think you're never going to be able to see everything, right?
Right.
And so you got to sort of, you do need to kind of prioritize. And I realize it's hard when you're thinking about, like, oh, like famous things and I want to see everything. But right, I think that's why for me, having that idea, like, this isn't the only time that I'm going to be here, helps. Because if I do love somewhere, I will plan to go back, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anywhere that I feel completely done with.
Yeah. I still try to, when we do go places, I try to prioritize some things like, what will I be disappointed or regret if I don't do?
Right.
And so that sometimes has helped us make the decision to splurge and spend a little bit more money on something like the day tour we took in Hokkaido, because right. we don't like to rent cars or drive in foreign countries or in the United States either, for that matter, too much. Like, we knew it was going to be a challenge, if not happen, for us to get out of the cities and get into Hokkaido nature, and it was well worth it. So, yeah. Like, that was a thing that we're like, we can't leave without this. In fact, we extended our time in Sapporo, I think, by a day, just so we could do that.
Yeah, so we could do that.
And then still have some time in Sapporo. And the other one, too, is, like, think about the things you're going to have fun at, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you're in Paris and you kind of like art museums, kind of in theory, or you feel like you're supposed to go to the Louvre because you're there, like, if that's not what you love, like, don't waste your time standing in line.
That's
like,
true.
go eat some more mussels and cheese or something, and drink too much wine, or do whatever it is that you find fun. And also, Atlas Obscura, but also just the internet for... Look for random ass crap if you're like really into, I don't know,
sex museums.
I was gonna say dollhouse furniture, right? In Kansas City, right? Like, I would have never thought about that, but like, look for the weirdo stuff that you might think is cool, and make time for those things.
Yeah, Atlas Obscura is international too, so I do think it's a good resource. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just like, don't put too much pressure on yourself to make things perfect, because they're never going to be, right? So, and I mean, if your travel seems like a big deal, it always is a big deal, but it's not like, it's not worth like freaking yourself out over it.
Yeah,
I think.
Right. I'd also say if you're into food and drinking, like, do make it a point to track down like a restaurant that seems like you'd really want to eat at it or something like that, and make that one of your events. We did that when we were in Barcelona. We went to Tickets.
Yep, right? That's right. The guys who used to own El Bulli.
Yeah.
That fancy restaurant that there were all the things about.
Glad we did, because we needed to make reservations like 3 months in advance.
Yeah. Some of that we've done through, like, you know, just watching, like, travel television shows too, mm-hmm. and we've gone to restaurants that are on those shows. We went to that steakhouse in Argentina that was mm-hmm. on some travel shows. It was delicious. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, sometimes you probably get burned by that stuff, but I think I've had more better than worse luck.
Yeah, because I'd also add too is don't undervalue doing the things tourists do if that seems like something fun that you'd like to do. Right? Like, we didn't go to Nara in Japan where all the deer are, but now I've also been hearing stuff that, like, Nara is kind of a cool town.
And I would say, like, one of the best things that I did when I was in Amsterdam was take a canal boat tour, and there's nothing more touristy than that, but it was entirely enjoyable, relaxing, informative. Mm-hmm. I got to have a beer and listen to people tell me about the city while I floated around. It was great.
Right. And Ninja Bar, not to give too many examples from Japan, but obviously it's on my mind. But Ninja Bar was totally like a corny, it's not touristy, but it's like, it's a tourist place that's off the beaten track a little bit. And we had such a fun night there.
Yeah. Two fun nights, actually. Yeah. Anyway. I think the secret is, like, don't put too much pressure on yourself.
Mm.
Don't expect things to be perfect. If you go to a place that's supposed to be amazing and you're not having fun, it's okay to cut your losses and just leave. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's fine.
Yeah. Or if you're just not feeling it, like, mm-hmm. and like, don't overplan so that, mm-hmm. you know, you are just running ragged, mm-hmm. leave some space to sleep in or just walk around.
Yep.
Yep. All right, man, I'm so excited about this trip. I'm really excited about getting out and getting places where we can actually fly again too.
Yeah, I know.
One of these days. Yep. So if you haven't got your vaccine, I hope you are scheduled. If
yep. you're in a schedule it. Everyone in the U.S. ages 16 and up is now available. I'm sorry if you are listening to this and you are not in the U.S. Yeah, and it is much harder for you to get vaccinated. I hope things are opening up more. I know for my friends in Canada, it is. It's.
Yeah.
But if you're
it's
in
important
US,
that we get enough people vaccinated so that we can stop getting so many of these variants and we can start returning to a little bit of something normalcy. So
yeah, if you're in the
fingers
US,
fingers crossed.
Get your vaccine scheduled. Is that,
all right.
is that
I think the next one's going to be on the road.
It is. Yeah. Because that's only about, it's less than a month away, actually.
Maybe the next one could be a podcast about us breaking into Oak Ridge.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably
good.
A bad idea.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll get some Geiger counters. I bet we can buy some on eBay.
I wonder. Well, I mean, we can get Geiger counters on eBay, but I'm wondering. It's probably not radioactive.
It's probably.
Yeah. Anyway.
We'd never know unless we got a Geiger counter.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe.
And keep on traveling. Rick Steves.
Oh, my God. We're going to get sued for that one. You can check us out at anchor.fm/reinitin. That's spelled R-E-I-N-I-T-I-N, all one word, no spaces, and you can leave us a message there. You can also follow us at Instagram @reinitin_podcast or email us at reinitin@ssdpress.org, also spelled R-E-I-N-I-T-I-N at ssdpress.org. Thanks again to all of our friends and family for all the support and for putting up with us. Have a great day.